It's Jessie. If you're hearing this, that means my limited edition capsule collection for Joe Fresh is out now. In select stores and at joefresh.com, I designed matching pieces for the entire family in a really fun, bold checkerboard print, including a baby romper, toddler and kids dress, a kids t-shirt and short set, a shirt for men, and the cutest women's linen short set that you will live in all summer long. Every piece is under $35, and warning, you will get compliments wherever you go. Shop it now before it's gone. This week on Phone a Friend, I saw NSYNC perform live on stage for the first time in 20 years, and I will never be the same. The royal family is in shambles, and Meghan Markle is making jam. Love is Not Blind. I sat through 18 hours of it to tell you why. And Oprah's Big Ozempic special was eye-opening. Get it? I've been waiting 7 days to talk about the NSYNC reunion. Can we just start this already?
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Girl, let's phone a friend with Jessie Cruikshank.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Phone a Friend. I'm Jessie Cruikshank, and this is the most desperate I have ever been to record an episode. Okay, 7 days ago, I went to a private Justin Timberlake concert that turned into an NSYNC concert, and I've been waiting to tell you everything about it ever since. Before we get to that, I am joined by self-described Britney Spears superfan, Jason, my producer.
Hey.
Jason, I know all of this Justin Timberlake talk might be challenging for you, but you need to know that I was forever changed at this concert. And we're going to get into that and the new album, the ill-advised low-cut tops worn by various members of NSYNC. We'll talk about it all. What we're not going to get to today is a guest. I am not phoning a friend today, phonies, which I realize goes against the entire premise of the show. But in my defense, when I created Phone a Friend, I knew it was going to be a show about pop culture hosted by a person who is often too dumb and too busy to keep up with pop culture. So I wanted to give myself a lifeline. You know, I wanted to have an opportunity to phone someone to explain something happening in the culture that I might not understand. It was never my intention to have weekly A-list celebrities like Heidi Montag on this show. I could never have dreamed so big, Jason. Heidi Montag, who, by the way, did I tell you this, Jay? Apparently she went on Snapchat and said she didn't like my interview.
Yeah, I heard that.
She said she thought I asked, quote, awkward questions. I didn't see the videos, but so many of my phonies slid into my DMs to report this to me. And footnote, shocked that so many of my phonies follow Heidi on Snapchat, but love that for you. I've also heard from many a phony that you love the pop culture portion of this show. And so in season two, sometimes we'll phone a friend, sometimes we won't. And this week, we have so much to talk about. There is simply no time for phone calls. So let's get into it. I have a question for you, Jason, to kick things off.
Okay.
When you were a kid, or let's say when you were a young man,
yeah,
what did you do on St. Patrick's Day?
Oh, like nothing. Well, okay, as a young child, nothing. Yes, it wasn't nothing. Like a family event.
No.
And you know, when you are old enough, you know, wear green and go to like a pub with your friends. That's like the extent of it, I think. I've never really celebrated it any more than that.
That's what we did in our MTV days. That was like, it was like every St. Patrick's Day, I remember wearing like a green scarf as a top, LOL 2008, and going to the local pub and like chugging green beer with all of the men we worked with, right? Yeah. St. Patrick's Day is a holiday for straight white men. Let's just get that out, right? It's like literally an excuse for them to go to the bar, get drunk off of green beer on a weeknight, and then like stumble around telling everyone they're a quarter Irish. That's what the holiday is for. And as a kid, we wore green to school and like maybe we made a four-leaf clover craft, but that was it. I don't even know what St. Patrick's Day is for or what it means. And look at my face, okay? I am descended from leprechauns. Now, let me tell you this, Jason. St. Patrick's Day is basically Christmas. It's Easter at the very least. My kids came home from school wanting to build elaborate leprechaun traps all over the house, Home Alone style, okay?
Traps?
Just like traps.
To catch the leprechaun?
To catch the leprechaun.
Is that creepy and scary?
It's totally creepy and scary. They went all out. There were like shoeboxes filled with beads precariously hung on a doorknob and like a giant appliance box in the doorway covered in just wet glue. It was like Kevin McAllister in my house. Like Rio just decided to pour salt all over the living room floor so the leprechaun would slip. And that was the thing. I was like, guys, what is the end game here? And they were like, yeah, it's to trap it. And I was like, and what are we going to do with this leprechaun? And then there was like a long, quiet pause. I really felt like they didn't know either. Like they were just making this shit up too. They were like, well, we're going to trap him and then he's going to bring us candy and presents. And I was like, no, that's Santa. And then they're like, and then we'll have him as a pet. And I was like, well, I don't think we haven't thought this through. They didn't even know what he looked like. Because to me, isn't a leprechaun like a full-grown man, like, but small? Isn't a leprechaun, like, doesn't it a leprechaun have a goatee?
Yeah, the leprechaun image in my mind is the, like, horror movie with Jennifer Aniston from the 90s. That's a leprechaun to me. It's terrifying.
Terrifying. They're like, Dre's like, oh, he's like 2 feet tall. And Rio was like, no, it's the size of a mouse. Like, these fools were as confused as I was. Nobody knew what we were doing. We're just like making this holiday out of nothing. And as much as I wanted to say to my six-year-olds, I wanted to be like, guys, this is some corporate garbage, okay? This is the commercialization of a cultural holiday. There's no leprechaun. And even if there was, you don't want to trap some creepy ass little ginger, some Jennifer Aniston movie creepy leprechaun in your house. But I didn't say that. Instead, I said goodnight to them, put them to bed. And then, Jason, I spent an hour painting tiny green footprints all over their traps, sent Evan to the grocery store at 10 p.m. to get green candy to, like, lay out around the house. We got green food coloring to make green pee in the toilets. And it was the stupidest thing I've ever done. I didn't want to deny my children the magic, but as I was creating the magic, I did think, this magic is some bullshit. So happy St. Patrick's Day to all, and to all a good night. I don't even know, what's the catchphrase? Is there a, you get your catchphrase together, St. Patrick's Day.
you're angling to become the next Easter, you better get your marketing strategy right. Better hire JoJo Siwa's publicist and start that rebrand, girl. Jason, it's been a week.
It's been a week, yeah.
I'm so into the JoJo Siwa rebrand, by the way.
Oh my God. Me too.
I love like a child star turning like adult and like pop music.
Absolutely. She's wearing, I'm sorry, I have you. If you have better things to do than creep JoJo Siwa's TikTok, then God bless you. But I do not. Her new, she's like teasing her new image. She's wearing like a Britney / Heidi Montag inspired bedazzled bodysuit. The single, what's the new single called?
Karma.
The single is called Karma, which, by the way, it takes balls as a blonde female pop star to name your single the same name as a Taylor Swift single.
Yeah.
Just like it took NSYNC balls to name their first single Paradise, because every time you ask Alexa for Paradise, they play the Coldplay song. Not that I've been doing that constantly for the past week. Can we get into it, Jason? Please, please.
Yeah,
I need to take a deep breath for this one. I'm going to go back to the beginning, okay? Because a lot of people are asking me, like, how the hell did you get into this private Justin Timberlake concert? So let me tell you. This is about, like, 3 weeks ago, I want to say, I got an email from a publicist at Sony Music inviting me to, it was like a two-line email, inviting me to a private Justin Timberlake album listening party on Wednesday, March 13th at an, quote, undisclosed location in L.A. Now, as a general rule, when I get invited to a publicity event on a weekday, I always say no. Because, like, I'm too tired and old to schlep myself into Hollywood and find parking and have a branded signature cocktail with influencers. Like, I'm not going to do that. Takes a lot to get me out of my house on a weekday. But for this, I replied yes immediately. I think the Sony team heard the mid-season banger where I went full Justin Timberlake apologist. Okay, you were not there to supervise and to rein me in. And so I just, like, the new single came out, Selfish. I celebrated my love for the single. I believe, if I recall, I called him one of the greatest entertainers of our time, and I stand by it. I also think I might have been the only person in media to do that in 2024 after everything that went down with Britney and the book release. And somehow, I think it got back to Sony. And that is why they asked me to come to this listening party. Okay?
It adds up.
Because honestly, why else would you invite this Canadian leprechaun? Like, there's no, you know? So as I mentioned last week, I knew the party was happening on the eve of our season 2 premiere, so I wrote back yes, and I asked, can I bring Jason, my producer, and Rob, my technical producer? I thought, you know, what a fun evening to celebrate the launch of season 2 together.
Yeah.
And they said no.
Oh, hard no.
Hard no, Jay. Private event, no guests. Well, I still said okay.
I appreciate that, though.
I tried.
Of course you had to go.
I really tried. But yes, I had to go. I had no choice. I had to go alone because in my mind, I was like, this is a private listening party. So I'm just going to be talking to Justin Timberlake the whole night. You know, he's going to be mixing and mingling at this listening party. Maybe I'll talk to Jess Beal. Like, I'll have plenty of people to chat with. Then Justin Timberlake announces on Instagram that he is doing a one night only show in LA. And I thought, that's weird. That's the same night as the listening party. And Sony was like, no, bitch, it is the listening party. You are actually invited to the concert.
Oh.
Yes. I don't know why this is all so guarded and private. They said they're going to send me my ticket to the concert 1 hour before the doors open. Okay? Like some Inspector Gadget shit. Like, the ticket will self-destruct after opening. It was very shrouded in secrecy. So the show, Jason, is at the Wiltern in LA. Have you been there?
I haven't. I know it, but I haven't been.
It's like a tiny venue. It's literally the same venue that Jay Malinowski, our personal boy band here on Phone a Friend, played a concert at and brought my twin boys out on stage. Like, Rio and Dre have been on the same stage as Justin Timberlake. The capacity is 1,800 people. And just to give you a sense, like, I perform in venues for 1,800 people, okay? This is a tiny venue for one of the greatest entertainers of our time. So after we recorded last week's episode, I just want to footnote this. I said to you, Jace, I'm headed out to this Justin Timberlake show. Do I wear an NSYNC shirt? What did you say?
Hard no.
You said no.
Yeah.
You said no. You're like, oh no, I think that's weird. This is for his own thing. Just like wear, like dress normal. And I was like, thank you again. Jason, I trust always. Thank you for the sage advice. Okay? And for me, dressing normal was like a weird PVC crop top. I was like, I was ready. So I get there alone. My Uber X pulls up. I get out. I'm all by myself. There are girls, I should say, lined up all around the theater. And perhaps I should rephrase that. There are middle-aged women with Justin Timberlake t-shirts lined up all around the theater. None of them have tickets. They're all like offering money for tickets. They're all trying to get tickets, but you can't because this is a quote, friends and family only show. So I'm not sure where to go. There is only a friends and family entrance. And as we've established, I am not a friend or family member of Justin Timberlake, but I was ushered through the entrance. I get let in. And these are the same shows that he's been doing. Like he did one in Memphis, I think. He did one in New York. I'm sure you recall the show he did where he sung Cry Me a River and said, I'd like to apologize to absolutely fucking nobody. Remember
yeah,
that? That was a bad look.
It burned, yeah.
So he's done a few of these in different cities leading up to this album release. And this is why he's doing these shows. Because he can't do general press because he'll get asked about Britney. He doesn't want to have to talk about the book, the accusations, the abortion. Like, he doesn't want me to ask him about that. He doesn't want Access Hollywood to ask him about that. So instead, he's done Jimmy Fallon. He's done Kelly Clarkson. He did SNL, just like safe spaces for him to promote the album. And then he puts on these shows in hopes that influencers, media, you know, elder millennial podcasters / JT apologists post about it, talk about it on their podcast, and, you know, conjure excitement for the new album. That is why he's doing these pop-up shows, honestly, because of Britney. Do you think he should go out and talk about it, Jay? Are you okay with this strategy?
Yeah, I do think he should go out and talk about it and just like get it over with because it's going to follow him forever. And, you know, he does come out and I think he did put out a statement like apologizing or something, or he has before with like the Janet stuff. And then he just takes 10 steps backwards with like the comments like, I apologize to nobody.
I know. That was really disappointing. I don't know why he had to do that. I also think that he just realizes at this point he can't win. Like if he did an Oprah Ozempic special, which we will get to, but instead of Ozempic, it was Oprah Justin Timberlake. If he did an Oprah Justin Timberlake special, like no matter what he says, no matter how rehearsed he is, no matter how many people come together to help him say the right thing about Britney, he's never going to win. Everyone is still going to trash him and cancel him. It's going to bring the subject matter up again. So I think he's just avoiding it and trying to distract us with his incredible moves.
Were the moves incredible?
The moves were incredible. Jason, I just appreciated how, like, this clearly means a lot to him. Okay, like he's almost lost it all. His last album was not good. Okay, Man of the Woods, like I wish it had just stayed in the woods. There was like two good songs off of that, but otherwise no one has discussed that ever since. So he has a lot to lose. Like I think he's been working really hard on this album. I think he's been working really hard on his like live performing. He looks amazing. He sounds incredible. The show was like tight. The moves are great. I'm already off book on Selfish and Drown. Okay. I'm like singing every word, but I will say in terms of the environment, because it was invited guests only, it was like, unfortunately a bit of a corporate vibe. Like it wasn't diehard. I wish all the women outside in the Justin Timberlake t-shirts were allowed in because the vibes were like, I was in a row. There were a few other Canadians like Liz Trenier, Tom Power. There was like a little Canadian NSYNC in a row, but most of it was like Sony marketing executives. So I was very cognizant that I should try to keep it profesh. Like I wanted to be screaming and dancing, but I'm instead just sort of like swaying and trying to calmly sip a weird watermelon mojito somebody handed me at some point. But I'm like, I'm keeping it cool. Despite him sounding, looking, singing incredibly. And singing all the hits. Okay, he's performing all the hits. So about 3/4 of the way through the show, the curtains on stage close. And Justin says to the DJ off stage, hit me with some of the old stuff. And the DJ starts playing some songs. And Jason, the moment the DJ starts playing NSYNC's Gone, a chill rushes through my body because I know what is about to happen. I felt it in my bones, Jason, so much so that I pulled out my phone and started recording. I rarely do that. I try to be in the moment. I knew this shit was going to happen. I pull out the phone, start recording, and in that moment, bam, my life changed forever. The curtains open to reveal Joey, JC, Lance, and Chris harmonizing to Gone, one of my favorite NSYNC songs. They are performing together on stage for the first time in 20 years. My soul left my body. I forgot I was an invited guest of Sony. I forgot it was a relatively corporate event. I forgot I was trying to keep it professional. Jason, I started to scream like a 15-year-old girl. And I mean scream. Here's the audio from a video I was recording. Jason, I don't remember screaming like that. I think I actually blacked out. And the one thing I do remember is like fumbling to text you and Rob, our technical producer, on our group chat. Because I was like, I couldn't believe after having talked about this NSYNC reunion for 9 months on this show, after having dressed up as NSYNC reuniting at the VMAs with my family for Halloween, like I could not believe that this was happening. And I was there. I am never there for anything. As a kid, I grew up in Vancouver. I was never at any of the intimate and interactives with the Backstreet Boys. I never got to see anything. I was fucking there. I think they started to sing Bye Bye Bye, Jace. And that was the moment I was like, I was it. That was it. They did Bye Bye Bye. They did Girlfriend. They did Gone. Like, they did everything.
I thought it was just like one little like blip, but they did like a few songs.
They did a few songs and they sounded amazing. And like, there was no choreo. They didn't do like the Bye 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 choreo. I was doing it. They were not. But they were like, I don't know. They were vibing. Like they were kind of like, they were just having fun. It was like grown men performing NSYNC songs in a way that felt like, I think, better than it would have if like Joey Fatone was jumping around with the Bye 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 choreo. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I would have loved that. It's easy to change my mind. As if I saw that, I would have been like, okay, Justin Timberlake could do no wrong. I would have been the exact same.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jason. You know what else really highlighted the moment for me? Again, someone had given me this like watermelon mojito, which I would never have chosen on a Wednesday night for myself. But at some point they're like singing Bye Bye Bye. I'm sipping this sugary sweet drink and it all felt right. I thought like, this is euphoria. I think this is my life's peak. Forget the special I shot last week. Forget the birth of my children. Like everything in my life had brought me to that moment.
Did they like banter with the crowd? Was there, you know?
No banter with the crowd, actually. Yeah, no banter. Like Chris Kirkpatrick was not allowed to speak on the microphone. Okay. Justin Timberlake sort of like was definitely the leader. And they look good. You saw pictures, my creepy pictures and videos, right? Like, they look great. Maybe one too many deep necklines for me. Like, JC Chazet is 47 years old wearing the bodysuit of a preteen gymnast, okay? Just like, if I could make a note to straight men.
Note to straight men.
Showing clavicle in your 40s is not advised. But he sounded amazing. By the way, JC has lead vocals on the new NSYNC song. The Justin Timberlake featuring NSYNC song, which is called Paradise. It's on the new album. And they performed it on stage for the first time, sitting on stools like it was 2004 all over again. And I think it might be my favorite song of the album. Have you heard it yet?
No.
Ooh, I haven't. Okay. It's your lucky day, Jay.
Okay.
Roll it.
'Cause I waited,
Okay, and Rob, can you just pop to the part where the JC solo comes in?
I sailed across the endless sea.
Ooh.
Just so I could be right in next to you.
Smooth like butter with those vocals. It like chills me to the bone. When those harmonies kick in, I just like, I was raised on mid-tempo jams by boy bands. I realize I have suffered through decades without them. I didn't know how badly I needed this in my life. Wait, do you like it?
Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, like the snippet you played, it's good.
I urge you to investigate further, Jason. Are you listening to the new Ariana Grande on repeat?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah. I'm going to put that on the shelf and start listening to Paradise by Justin Timberlake featuring NSYNC. Here's my theory about it. I think the song was originally written for the Trolls soundtrack. Then Justin saw how crazy old horny women like me went when NSYNC reunited at the VMAs. He's about to announce a new album and tour, and clearly no one really wants him to. They want NSYNC to. So he thought, let me dig that rejected Trolls song up, rework some lyrics, and release it on my album. That's what I think. Would you like to hear the audio evidence that has taken me many hours to compile?
Yes.
Oh, great. Perfect. Roll it. So one more time, here's the NSYNC song, Paradise.
I've been waiting forever, right here for this moment, between you and I.
Okay, got it. Now, I'm not saying this is the same song. I'm just saying it has a similar energy as Just Sing from the Trolls 2 soundtrack.
Just sing, sing it together. Louder than ever, ever. Forget everything. Just sing like it's what we've been missing. And they're gonna...
Vibe is similar, but wait until you get to the a cappella breakdown.
I'm waiting. I've been waiting forever. Right here for this moment.
This moment
between,
yeah.
You and I.
Between you and I.
And roll the a cappella breakdown from Trolls.
Similar vibe.
It's a similar energy. By the way, I live for an a cappella breakdown in any song, specifically in a boy band song, okay? But I'm not done. Our genius technical producer, Rob, has mashed up the two songs together. I believe this is what they call a mashup. Listen to this. Paradise could very well have been written for the Trolls 3 soundtrack. And you know what? I'm okay with that. What I do think became abundantly clear to me is that Justin Timberlake has no intention of bringing NSYNC out on his tour or ever touring with them. I think he straight up used them to promote his own album, okay? He hasn't wanted anything to do with them for 20 years, but he saw the hype they caused together. His album was dropping on Thursday night. So on Wednesday night, he drags them on stage to reunite for the first time in 20 years, and it causes a global internet frenzy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it worked.
It worked.
I was excited to see it.
It worked. Now, did it help the album, or did it just make people thirstier for an NSYNC reunion tour? You tell me.
But so wait, do you like his album?
Oh, Jason, I started streaming it at 9 p.m. Pacific when it came out on the Thursday. Like, there was no one more excited for this album. I have been listening to it nonstop. I will tell you, it's like not so much bangers, more vibes. Obviously, I love Paradise, Drown, Selfish, love Sanctified. I like No Angels. This is a few songs. think there's like the first song is just a Drake song. Okay, we've just recorded a Drake song, and that's a choice. There's like some experimentation with disco, and there's some sections that veers a little bit too close to the beatboxing and cornrows of 2001 for my liking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But overall, listen, I'm streaming it. I'm here to say Justin Timberlake is back, and I have already started looking at tickets for his tour. Like, I am all in on JT right now. And I have no shame in saying that. Doesn't mean that I don't love and believe Britney. People can have multitudes, Jason.
Both can be true.
Both
as they say.
Can be true. So Justin Timberlake featuring NSYNC, thank you for blessing me with the greatest night of my life. Even if I did not see Travis Kelce, who was also at the same show. To me, it was paradise.
Paradise.
What's next?
What's next?
Kate Gate is still firing up the gram. Does Prince William have a madame? And Meghan Markle's making jam. It's time for a royal update.
Royal update.
That's the greatest shit we've ever, I think. I think that's, this is our first poem, season two. Who needs to phone a friend when we're dropping poetry here on this show? Last week, we investigated the disappearance of Kate Middleton, and phonies, she heard our outcry, we assume. She finally stepped out in public for real this time. She actually got out of the car on a lovely trip down to the Windsor Farm Shop. First of all, what is a farm shop? Okay, never heard this before in my life. It sounds rich. So after like what felt like almost a day of this just being hearsay, video finally surfaced of her walking outside of said farm shop with William. People who were there said she looked happy, healthy, relaxed. What I see in the video is no colostomy bag, no bad bangs, no BBL, no masked singer merch. Do you think it's her? Because some people are saying that this is not actually Kate in the video.
I'm torn. I'm loving like the whole conspiracy so much. I think it's so funny. So like,
yes.
That part of my brain doesn't want to believe it and like keep having fun with it. I do think it's her though.
I think it's her too. The thing that is surprising to me is that the video feels so casual. Like they knew they were being photographed. This is all very much set up. So like, it's shocking to me that Kate Middleton would just be out in like a windbreaker and runners. Like we know our girl loves a skinny jean and a ballet flat. So that was surprising to me. Also a little surprised by how fast she's walking. Like someone who had abdominal surgery a matter of weeks ago, it is Olympic level speed walking out of the farm shop.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Walking real quick.
Yeah.
It also doesn't make any sense that there's only one video and like grainy screenshots, right? Like based on the scale of this scandal, I would think her first public outing would attract thousands of photographers, swarms of people, even just the people in the farm shop would be trying to get out their phones and take pictures, you know? Like, what is this farm shop? People in the UK were quick to interrogate the UK's most famous Kate Middleton lookalike. Her name is Heidi. So many people think it's her with William in the video. And she, as a result, had to put out a statement saying that she had a solid alibi. Listen to this.
Given my alibi that, no, it wasn't me in the video. I was actually at work. So I think it is 100% her.
Sorry, wait. She knows that we know that her work is being a Kate Middleton impersonator, right?
What, I love that.
What other gig were you at that day?
Oh, she was at work.
She was at work. A children's birthday party maybe for her that day. What? And then to circle back on my earlier point about this feeling too casual, she confirms that at the height of this conspiracy, even she can't leave the house without getting swarmed. Listen to this.
If I walk into crowded places at the moment, I think because she hasn't been seen for so long, I walked into a place on Saturday and the whole place erupted and was just like, Kate Middleton's here.
The farm shop should have erupted. You know what I mean? She gets swarmed with the real Kate, somehow doesn't. Make it make sense, Jason.
And that's where it's like, I believe it's her, Kate in the video, but it's just so set up, if anything.
So set up.
But the people around, like, don't even care. It's like, right. Were they all actors? Like, no one even looks up.
Yes.
They're eating sausages and no one even, like, turns their head.
You're absolutely right. It's weird. And I will turn my head for Prince William in a baseball cap all day, okay? That man puts on a baseball cap and suddenly I'm attracted to him again. Moving right along. We will be standing by with live updates as they come in. Speaking of Kate Middleton lookalikes, the rumors of Prince William's affair with a woman named Rose Hanbury, who looks like the non-royal version of Kate. Is that a nice way to say that?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. You know what I'm saying. She looks exactly like Kate Middleton, but just like, just a little, just like she's the farm shop version. Okay. Whatever the hell that is. If Kate Middleton is Erewhon, Rose Hanbury is farm shop. So the affair is making headlines again because everyone is speculating that maybe there are problems in the relationship and that's why Kate has gone missing. And all of these articles about the affair are resurfacing. Rose, I guess, is some kind of royal person. I don't know. She's a member of William and Kate's inner circle. William denied the rumors back in 2019, but the noise around the affair is so loud, Rose just had to come out through her lawyers and say, quote, the rumors are completely false. That's all they said. The rumors are completely false. Short and sweet. Honestly, it takes longer to say her royal title, which is the Marchioness of Cholmondeley. Cholmondeley sounds like a sexually transmitted disease.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know, but anything that starts with a C-H-O-L, it can't be good, okay? Seek medical help, Marchioness of Cholmondeley. Do you think he cheated with this woman, Jay?
No, I haven't really been following the details, but no.
Oh, I do.
You do, yeah.
Oh, I do. Because, you know, every man cheats with like a poor man's version of their wife, okay? Every man, the mistress is always like a less attractive version. No offense to the Marchioness of Cholmondeley. She is beautiful, but she is a less attractive version of his wife. I believe he cheated. Plus, look at him walking around the farm shop, no one paying attention. Clearly, he can just go out and about, put on a baseball cap, and no one even bats an eye. I think he could have gotten away with it. What I should clarify is that there is no evidence that they've ever been romantic, okay? She clearly right. wants nothing to do with any of this, hates all of the attention. Unlike someone else we know and love, Meghan Markle! Conveniently choosing now to launch her latest business venture. In the midst of all this turmoil and chaos, okay, the royal family is literally crumbling to the ground. And Meghan Markle has come out with a new, quote, lifestyle brand called American Riviera Orchard. The timing is unreal. It's either like throwing absolute shade at this whole mess happening in the UK or completely oblivious to the mess happening in the UK. Apparently, they really wanted to launch on this specific March date because that was the date of their exodus from the UK. But ironically, it was also the day after the world shut down from the pandemic. So like, it's a weird date in time to celebrate. Also, the company is called American Riviera Orchard. Meghan Markle has been quoted as saying the name is perfect and authentic to her, which, you know, tells me that she is not the people's princess. She is the people of Montecito's princess. Like, what is this? So American Riviera is another word for Santa Barbara, I guess, or it's what the Santa Barbara area is referred to,
okay.
Which, as we know, Meghan Markle lives in like a $40 million estate perched above Montecito. I just like, the name doesn't roll off the tongue, Jace. You know what I mean? American Riviera Orchard. So what is it? Insiders are saying it will reflect everything that she loves. Family, cooking, entertaining, and home decor. It's what all women love, isn't it?
Yeah.
The internet loves to dig things up. And so someone found some sort of a corporation paperwork filed for American Riviera Orchard. The files say it's a service that will provide jellies, jams, marmalades, fruit preserves, edible oils and fats, vegetable-based spreads, legume-based spreads, nut-based spreads, garlic-based spreads, sesame-based spreads, dairy-based spreads, nut butters, fruit butters, as well as other items. I need a moment to recover. Jason, if you have ever used the words marmalade, preserve, and legume in succession, you're just in a different tax bracket than I am. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can't
relate. I cannot relate. I do not understand what we are doing here. First of all, I have said this before in this podcast, why would you marry into a royal family and still work? Why are we trying so hard? We've done podcasts, we've done documentaries, now we're doing jams and jellies. Like, we need to take a step back. It's too much. I'm sorry, maybe this is just my own personal feeling, but like, if I could just relax and make appearances at a church in a hat on Easter Sunday, I would do that. I would do it. And I know she's been through some shit and we should support her, but I just don't know if I am going to be able to support her by purchasing a $52 nut-based spread.
I know this is going to be annoying, but like, I kind of hope it all works out for her and yeah, she just has something nice, you know?
Yes.
And if like jams and spreads is like her passion, then great.
No, you're so right. You're so right. That's why I need you in my life, Jason, to just pull, because ultimately, like, sure, I guess I would love also to just sell jams and spreads. Sometimes I want to give it all up and just like open a coffee shop. You know what I mean? Like,
I think the same thing. I don't know if you're being sarcastic, but
no, I'm being totally serious.
That's my dream.
Right. So maybe she actually is, like, maybe I should take all of that back. Maybe she actually is taking advantage of her position in the world and living out her dreams. And, you know, we should all just get on board and support her.
But it needs a rebrand already. The name.
The name needs a rebrand. Again, CJoJo Siwa's people. Okay, please consult with Team Siwa because we need a rebrand. The name is too much. Also, I just don't know who she is. That's all it is. Who are you? Because you have this real, like, I want to be relatable and I'm going to do a podcast that makes me seem real and down to earth. And then you launch basically Goop, but for legume-based spreads. So I just am confused about where the brand is at and how I should think of you, okay? Are you Diana or are you Gwyneth Paltrow? Like, where do we land, Meghan Markle, with you? That's all I want to know. I need some clarity. And I think American Riviera Orchard will help do the trick. God, it's like, which one is harder to say? The Marchioness of Kolomandalay or American Riviera Orchard? Anyways, we'll be watching this space and we'll circle back on her edible oils and fats very soon. And that's your royal update.
Royal update.
Oh, also the king was reported dead for a day. What's next?
What's next?
What?
Yes, the king was dead. Charles was dead on St. Patrick's Day for like...
What?
Yes. Many international news outlets reported that he had died until finally the palace clarified that he was in fact alive. This is what is happening, Jason. The royal family is so bad at being the royal family. It's all crumbling before our eyes. But now we have a nice spread to go with that crumble. Okay, Love is Blind, season 6, wrapped up last week. And I am ashamed to say I watched all 18 and a half hours of it. I hated myself through every minute of every episode, and that's why Love is Blind is what's giving me night sweats.
Girl, what's giving me the night sweats? What's giving me night sweats?
I've said it before, I'll say it again. There is no show on television that makes me more furious than Love is Blind, and yet I cannot look away. Jason, Have you seen Love is Blind?
I've never seen Love is Blind.
Never, not a single frame or out.
I don't think I like understand the format of it.
Like, no.
I guess people, it's like a dating show behind a wall or something, but that's like at the extent of it.
Jason!
Yeah.
I'm jealous. I'm actually jealous. I want your life. Whatever you have been doing with those 18 hours, I want to do it too.
Okay.
So for the Jasons out there who may not have wasted your precious time on Earth watching this show, allow me to explain. Ooh, this is fun. Okay. So really, you don't know what the premise is?
No.
Okay. So you have a group of single men, group of single women. I think we start with 15 and 15, and they all date each other by talking through a wall. They fall in love with each other's personalities and then get engaged without having any idea what their fiancé looks like. Then there's this big reveal where they see the person they fell in love with in real life for the first time, and slowly, over the course of 9 painfully drawn-out episodes, the couples start to realize that they are not physically attracted to each other, but instead of admitting it, they passively-aggressively tear each other down until they all hate themselves and are left crying at the altar and/or reunion. Any questions?
Do they get like a big lavish wedding that's televised?
They get a wedding that is televised.
Okay.
The wedding is the same for everybody.
Okay.
So they pay for one location and like one florist, and they like occasionally change out the colors, but you're literally watching multiple weddings happen day after day at the same venue.
Got it.
That's super personal. You know what I'm saying? Also, I have reason to believe that everybody sitting at the wedding are paid extras. So every time Nick and Vanessa Lachey ask me earnestly, is love truly blind? I always scream, no, bitch, no. The premise of the show is flawed. The only couples from Love is Blind who are still together are the ones who met in real life and happened to be physically attracted to each other. Everyone else breaks up. And this is why, because you have to have some form of physical attraction to your partner. Right? Like, yes, you can fall in love with someone's personality and grow to love their looks as a result. Absolutely. A person can also be, you know, not classically attractive, but have swag and sex appeal in person. And that matters, right? They can also be stunningly gorgeous and have no swag or sex appeal. That also matters. Like, I just believe so much in physical chemistry with someone, like being around their essence, their energy, their confidence, how they carry themselves. That is make or break in relationships. And it's only something you can discover about a person when you're with them in real life. Agree?
I agree. And like what I think you're saying is like it's not necessarily about how attractive someone is, but there is like a physical energy that needs to match.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's impossible to discover that in a pod. I also think the premise is flawed because you're meeting someone in this soundproof room. I feel like you need to see somebody engage with people in the real world before you can fall in love with them. Certainly before you can get married, right? Like to me, it's like friends, waiters, and their mom.
Yeah.
How do they treat those three categories, right? Like if they're rude to waiters, cannot go to the altar with that person. When I saw Evan with his mom, I was like, oh my God, like I have to marry this man. Like there are things that you need to see the person do in real life before you fall in love. I'm not going to break down the entire season 6 for you, Jason, as much as I know you want me to. Okay.
Okay.
I'm just going to go through some of the most discussed plot points. You obviously heard about the Megan Fox scandal.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. I love that.
Yes. So this is like this one woman, Chelsea, tells the guy she's dating, Jimmy, in the pods that she gets compared to Megan Fox. I'm just going to play the clip because it makes me laugh every time.
Do you ever get told you look like a celebrity?
I do.
I do too. All the time on the plane, I get one person. And it's just because I have dark hair and blue eyes.
Ooh, say it.
It's, I don't even know if it's MGK's wife or his girlfriend.
Megan Fox?
Jason, the way his face lit up, he obviously picks her because Megan Fox, I believe, is factually the hottest woman on earth, according to basic white men. Okay, if we take a poll of basic white men in America, it's Megan Fox every time. And so when this man sees Chelsea, he is visibly disappointed because she does not look like Megan Fox. Nobody does. Like, she has similar features. She is beautiful by all standards, but she does not look like Megan Fox. It's like me saying I look like Angelina Jolie because we both have green eyes. Jason, let me ask you from behind a wall in my Love is Blind voice.
Okay.
Okay, so just imagine I'm inexplicably wearing heels, like a clear high heel or perhaps a wedge. I'm in a crop top wrapped in a throw. I'm drinking from a gold cup and I say this, Jason, do you ever get told that you look like a celebrity?
What do you say? I don't really.
You don't?
Like, there's not one person that, like, people that I get all the time. I did used to get, like, I can't even remember his name, but there's this, like, random cousin of a husband of someone from Real Housewives of New Jersey that people used to, like, tweet me saying. His name was, like, Albie something.
Oh, my God, I'm Googling. Albie, Real Housewives, New Jersey?
It's not, like, terribly wrong, but, like, it's just not the... It's not who you want to get compared
to. Well, you're also really, like, your friend group has become abundantly clear to me. If they can identify a D character from Real Housewives of New Jersey, oh, my God, you kind of do. You kind of do. Albie Manzo. Wow.
That's, listen, I think, Jason, why it bothers me, because I do kind of see it. I know. Like, it feels like, yeah.
But here's why, no one ever wants to be compared to a celebrity, because everybody, A, likes to think that they are an individual and nobody else in the world looks like them. And B, it's very rare that you get Megan Fox. You know what I mean? Like, you're usually getting Albie Manzo from Real Housewives of New Jersey. I mean, I do get Celine Dion a lot, and I'm flattered because she is an icon. She is also like 20 years older than me and not known for her classic beauty. Do you know what I mean? So like, no one wants to hear it. So the relationship between Chelsea, Megan Fox, and Jimmy is doomed from the start, okay? Because love is not blind. He is not attracted to her. And you can tell because she gets so insecure and she starts nagging this man for the rest of the season, like nagging him like my aunt nags my uncle who she has been married to for 60 years. Like, she is relentless with this man. Everything he does, she says, makes her uncomfy. I'm so uncomfy. Like, I want to throw up just saying it. And then this big blowout argument happens, Jason, after he goes out with some friends who are girls. She says she doesn't want him to hang out with female friends. It makes her uncomfy. Okay. Is it okay, Jay, to have friends of the same sex as your romantic partner?
Yes.
Yes.
I feel strongly about that.
Me too. Go off.
I think it's 2024. Let's let it happen.
Let's let it happen. Also, like, note to straight women.
Note to straight women.
If you constantly nag your partner about cheating, he will cheat. Okay, if you're like constantly telling your partner that you don't want him hanging out with women because you're so nervous that he's like, then he will sleep with one of his friends, because there's obviously trust issues in the relationship already. And if you're going to constantly accuse him of being unfaithful, then eventually he'll think, why not just be unfaithful? You know, I really believe that. I think you got to trust him just like he has to trust you. And you have to show him you trust him by giving that space to go out and come home to you. And if he does cheat, trust me, it is not because you never told him not to. Okay? Prince William is not taking down the Marchioness of Col de Mandalay thinking, Kate did tell me not to do this. That's not how it works. You know what I mean? Legend. The last thing I need to say about Love is Blind. Thank you for bearing with me, Jason. Is it just really makes me love and appreciate my husband more than ever.
Aw.
Like, truly, I feel like, you know, some girls watch, like, I don't know, erotica to get in the mood. I just need to watch Love is Blind, okay? I'm like, honey, I just watched a beautiful woman settle for an idiot. Like, get over here and kiss me. You know what I mean? The reason it makes me appreciate the relationship I'm in is that these couples fall in love. They meet in person, and most of them start to fight the next day. Okay, they're all taking their insecurities out on each other. And the fights are all under the guise of like, marriage is hard. Marriage is work. We're going to have our ups and downs, but I believe we can make it through. And yes, I'm coming up on our 10-year wedding anniversary. Marriage is hard. Marriage is work. But it shouldn't be in the first 3 weeks of your relationship. And that is a note to couples.
Note to couples.
if you are doing more bickering than banging, I was going to say fighting than fucking, but I toned it down. I toned it down knowing that Kate Middleton is listening. In the first month of meeting each other, you shouldn't get married. Okay? You're not right for each other. You are incompatible. If you are not Travis and Taylor in the early months of dating, you should not spend the rest of your life together. And on season 6 of Love is Blind, Jason, only 2 of 30 people did. One couple got married this season. And it was a couple that didn't know how birth control worked. So good luck to them.
Oh, I hope they figure it out.
We do wish them well. We really do. And let's also hope that, you know, not Megan Fox can find her own Machine Gun Kelly. Or at least a man who says he looks like Machine Gun Kelly, but actually looks like Macaulay Culkin.
Did they make it in the end, Megan Fox and Guy?
No, but I love that you're invested in the plot lines now. No, of course they didn't make it. They weren't going to make it from the start.
Right, fair.
Could you tell how angry I was? Whew, that is what's been giving me night sweats.
Good, what's giving me the night sweats? What's giving me night sweats?
Thank you so much for letting me get that off my chest. What's next?
What's next?
Okay, it's time to bring back a segment we call Dumb and Busy. If you're too dumb and busy to keep up with everything that's going on in the culture, let me do it for you.
Ooh, dumb and busy.
I'm assuming you were too dumb and busy to watch Oprah's Ozempic special, which aired this week. Jason and I did, and it was fascinating.
Yeah, I agree. I loved it.
Loved it. I went from Lindsay Lohan's Irish Wish on Netflix, by the way, straight over to the Oprah Ozempic special. It was really a journey I went on last night. Okay, the special was called Shame, Blame, and the Weight Loss Revolution. I personally think the Oprah Ozempic special has a better ring to it, but maybe she consulted with Meghan Markle's naming team on this one. I'm going to just be very honest and say, like many people, I was pretty judgy about Ozempic. You know, like I didn't know a lot about it. I knew it was something that we were all making fun of celebrities for taking starting about a year ago. Like all the late night talk show hosts shamed the Real Housewives for being on it. All of the award show hosts shamed the attendees for being on it. Like I'm sure I made jokes about it. I know I definitely talked about the new Barney being on Ozempic.
Oh, yeah.
Because, right? I feel like when we don't understand something, it's just easiest to make fun of it, especially when celebrities are involved. So enter Oprah's Ozempic special. It completely changed my mind about so many things. It was all about sort of taking the shame and blame out of weight loss medications. And I thought it was really well done. And I think that there was no one better to talk about this than Oprah because please, it's Oprah. I would love Oprah to talk to me about Love is Blind. Like, but please. Also, her weight loss medication journey played out in a really interesting way. So back in 2023, she sort of quite suddenly lost a lot of weight. Many people speculated she did it with a weight loss drug. She came out and said she thought weight loss drugs were, quote, the easy way out. Fast forward a few months, and Oprah finally admitted that she was actually on a weight loss drug. I don't think she ever said the brand, right, Jason? She never said Ozempic?
Yeah, she's never said which one.
No, they got to pay her the big bucks for that. They got to pay her the American Riviera dollars to say which one. But she did say that she felt ashamed for using one. Now she's owning it. She quit her Weight Watchers partnership. She's going like full steam ahead on her support of weight loss medication for people who need it. So if you, like me, didn't know a lot about Ozempic, I thought I would share my top 3 takeaways from Oprah's special that I just think were fascinating and important to know. Number 1. Oprah invited a panel of medical experts to speak about how obesity is a disease and how it should be treated as one, right? Like, really how being obese is not about a lack of willpower or control or being lazy. It actually starts in our brains. Listen to this.
When I tell you how many times I have blamed myself, because you think I'm smart enough to figure this out, and then to hear all along, it's you fighting your brain.
Jason, Oprah getting emotional will never not give me chills. Also, and she says this right at the beginning, like she is a woman who has been shamed, mocked, relentlessly abused for decades about her weight. And she's just so open about all of it, which I Really appreciate it. Number two, Oprah talked a lot about how the medications work. They don't help you starve yourself. They don't melt fat away. They silence something Oprah calls food noise. So I guess instead of like constantly thinking about what you're eating and when you're going to eat next, the medications just silence the food noise. And you only eat when you're hungry and you stop when you're full. Listen to this.
All these years, I thought all of the people who never had to diet were just using their willpower, and they were, for some reason, stronger than me. And now I realize y'all wasn't even thinking about the food. It's not that you had the willpower. You weren't thinking about, you weren't obsessing about it.
That's so interesting. And again, I appreciate Oprah being open about her relationship with food and her journey on the medication. I think prior to watching this, and Jason, I know I said this to you like less than 48 hours ago, it just in conversation, I said that I felt like certain celebrities should just own up to being on Ozempic. I think for me, Kelly Clarkson is a good example of somebody who is like so open with her audience about everything. She's talked about her divorce, her like all of her life changes. She shares with her audience. And then she's been on this weight loss journey. And I felt like, ugh, Kelly Clarkson of all people should just admit to taking Ozempic. And then Oprah did as Oprah does. She changed my mind again. Because this is number three. She really reminded me and all of us that we need to like shut the fuck up about other people's bodies, okay? Shut up, Jesse. Stop pointing fingers at people for losing weight. Stop shaming people for their weight and stop even discussing other people's decisions around how they choose to or not to lose it and whether or not they decide to share that journey with the world, okay? Like that is not my place to say. So just let people do what they think is best for them. Listen to this.
For people who feel happy and healthy and celebrating life in a bigger body and don't want the medications, I say, bless you. And for all the people who believe diet and exercise is the best and only way to lose excess weight, bless you too, if that works for you. And for the people who think that this could be the relief and support and freedom, as you said earlier, that you've been looking for your whole life, bless you, because there is space for all points of view.
I want to say this is not a medication that is safe for everyone or accessible for everybody. I also want to say bless you, Oprah. Because of you, I understand it so much better. And now you're a little less dumb, but still very busy.
Ooh, dumb and busy.
After the break, I'm checking your voicemail and forcing Jason to tell us about a celebrity encounter he had with a man I love. Next.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And I live for your voicemails. I really do. Especially when you react to something I've just said on the podcast. I love it when you listen to this pod and you pick up the damn phone and you call in, which I believe is what this person did after last week's episode. Is that right, Jason?
Yeah.
Okay, let's check my voicemail.
Check your voicemail.
Hi, Jesse. My name's Joanna, and I'm from Orangeville, Ontario. Love your podcast. I am a longtime fan and a first-time caller, and like you, I'm a dumb and busy mom. I have only recently fallen in love with John Cena, so I loved hearing about him on your latest podcast, and I just wanted to bring to your attention that he is also a children's book author. That's right. He writes a series of books called Elbow Grease that my four-year-old loves. The books are about this cute little monster truck who doesn't fit in with his tough monster truck brothers. And you can also look for illustrations of John Cena throughout the book. Anyways, they're great. I thought you should pick them up for your boys too and enjoy the wonderful books of John Cena. Thanks so much for your weekly podcast and making my Thursdays awesome. Love you.
Joanna, I love you. Illustrations of John Cena? I shall check out these books. Is he topless in any of these children's book illustrations? Because I would be curious to know. Wow. This is a great voicemail, Joanna, from Orangeville, because it should be noted that Jason, my producer, saw John Cena in the flesh last week. Days after I paid an emotional tribute to him on this show. Jason, tell us everything you saw. Was he hairless, charming, handsome?
You know, we passed on the street for 1 second, but it was a really special 1 second.
Absolutely.
Tall, strong, very hairless.
Taller than you?
Yeah, I think
wow.
so.
Wow. Jason, I mean,
big person.
Real? Well, yes, that's clear, but interesting. He looked like a little bit, I had categorized him as a bit stout, but nice to know that he's tall. Of course, if you know Albie, the D-list character from Real Housewives of New Jersey, you probably could visualize that Jason is tall. Jason, you're like 6'2"?
Yeah.
And John Cena is taller than that as I live and breathe. Also, I mean, I'm in love with his talent. Okay, Jason? Love is blind. I don't need John Cena's muscles, hairlessness, or looks. I'm in love with his talent. I think he's truly one of the most gifted comedic actors of our time. And so to know that he is also an author of children's books, just add it to the list of reasons I love John Cena. I don't know how I feel about celebrity children's books. Like I was just thinking about how many I have in my drawers. We have all the Jimmy Fallon ones. We have the Kristen Bell books. And my boy's favorite books, Jason, are you ready?
Yeah.
The Property Brothers have a series of books called Builder Brothers Better Together, where they're like identical twins who like solve problems together. And let me tell you, Rio and Dre see themselves in the Property Brothers.
I thought you were going to say their favorite books were the ones that I bought them for their birthday, but
no, Jason did buy them. Oh, excuse me. Oh my God. Retraction.
I thought that's
retraction.
Where it was going.
Retraction. No, Jason bought incredible books for my kids for their birthdays. I should say one of them is, you know, you're a drag queen. It's like, trust me, my boys love that. But you are the author, unfortunately,
the
author was not a celebrity. The author was not a celebrity. Yeah. And I wonder if like real authors, like if the Mo Willems of the world are like, fuck you, John Cena. I went to school for this. I know what I'm doing. And you're just going to come in with your books. Like, I wonder if they feel like how I felt about Khloe Kardashian when she started hosting The X Factor. You know what I mean? Is there anger and resentment towards celebrities taking your job? I'd like to know. Either way, my boys will literally high-five each other after completing like a Lego build and say, Builder Brothers, better together. So they have been influenced by a celebrity-penned children's book, and I might have to get them the John Cena one. Wow. Thank you, Joanna from Orangeville, for educating us and giving us a visual of illustrations of John Cena. Jason, next time you pass him in the street, make sure to say, I'm a big fan of your books. And that's our show. Our first episode of Phone a Friend without phoning a friend. How did that feel, Jay? Did that feel good?
Yeah, that feels good.
Felt okay?
Yeah.
The good news is no one's going to go on their Snapchat and trash us after this episode, so at least right. We have that. We did cover a lot, and that's what our phonies come to us for, Jason. Hard nude coverage. We do a lot of hard nude coverage. We just did talking about John Cena. Hard news coverage. Also, I feel like our phonies come to us for NSYNC, so let's roll the new NSYNC but probably rejected Trolls single, Paradise. Jason, this is such a jam. Your homework assignment is to listen to this nonstop for the next 7 days, okay?
Yeah,
we still have like 2 weeks before the new Beyonce, so you have time.
Okay.
This and the new Justin Timberlake, and then report back to me next week.
Okay.
All right? Okay, ignore the Drake song off the top and then just get into it, starting at track two. Thank you, as always, to Jason, my producer. Thank you to Love is Blind for being over. Thank you to Kate Middleton for being alive, we think. Should we talk next week?
Talk next week.
Okay. All right, I'm hanging up now. Bye. 'Cause I waited. I've been waiting forever. Fighting for this moment between you and I. Everything is happening, and it's just what I
Days. Phone a Friend was created by our mommy, Jessie Cruxick. The executive producers are Jessie Cruxick and Jason Yanba. The technical producer is Rob Parrott. The amazing theme song and sexy interludes are by Jay Malinowski from Bedouin Soundclash. Phone a Friend is part of the Acast Creator Network. Credits are by us, Ray Gatica and Rio Gatica. We're her kids. That's crazy, right? Wow, you're still listening? Okay, see you next week.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.